Hey, everybody, welcome. This is C.A. Brooks, and it's Everyday Astrology. I know you know that ain't true. Hey, it's Mark Husson, and as I promised you, Kat Nicholson and I are going to co-host today's show for C.A. Brooks. Kat, are you here?
I am here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
You're on fire today. I feel it already.
Oh, you know what? I was telling Jay that this time for me is way too late in the day. I've already got 5 cups of coffee in me. I'm buzzing. Stuff is happening. Is my morning show is like I'm just waking up with everybody. So I feel like I could never do these afternoon shows very often. Maybe that'll change. How are you feeling?
I'm doing good. I'm definitely that time change has. I'm waking up at like 5:30, 6. Yes. You know, getting my day going early. And
You have to put the brakes on everything and stop and do a new kind of. You have to realign yourself, right?
Yes, I definitely feel every shift now. So you're right about that. But you know me, I'm like getting ready for the holiday.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I like it. I like to see things out and about when it's early in the season and
about. Yeah. You know, before we get too on a roll, I want to remind everybody we're live on 1-2 Radio today, which is November 5th, Election Day. It's about a little after 9 a.m. on the Pacific Coast. It's about a little after noon on that East Coast. And if you're new to hear, if you haven't ever come into the chat room to play with us before, you just go over to 1-2radio.com, look for that chat link on the left-hand side, click chat, and come on over. And if you have never been there before, they'll ask you to ask us permission. And if Jay's in a good mood, which Jay can be grumpy if y'all don't know that, he might let you in. I'm teasing. Jay always lets you in, no matter who you are. But come on over, take a look. We're going to refresh the page and see how the comments are. Kat, do you go into the room yourself too?
I'm in here. I'm watching.
You're in there? Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it.
I see Laura and Joni and Gail and Quelly and Ms. Perez. I always tease her. Nadine is here. Who else is here? I know. I feel like I could tell what kind of mood you're in, so I'm ready to go. I only had 2 cups of coffee, so that's not fair. But
that is not fair. That is so not fair. But it's fun. Hey, you guys, and you see when you go into that chat thing where you see CA's image and CA, hey, I hope you're listening. I hope you're having a great day. We think of you all the time. Couldn't make it without CA. You all know she's in your, hopefully you're reading the Power Peak, which this week's password is moonlit over at markhusson.com. You just check out, you know, the woman doesn't stop working. So she's like Kat. That's why they're friends.
That's right.
But when you come to the room and you see that thing that says comments under CA's picture, if you click it, it'll also take you to the page right below it. But then there's another little link that says most relevant. Click it and change it to all comments. And there you see everybody. And then we can sort of scroll
through. Renee, too. I want to shout out to Renee. She's always so supportive. Good morning, Renee. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, yeah. They so supportive. What a lovely group of people. We are so lucky to be a part of. And I'm just like reiterating, I have already had a few cups of coffee and I've been up. So Kat gets up early too, but she's so much healthier. And so,
why? Because I got my 10,000 steps in already.
I'm my 10,000 chews in already. Oh my God. I've been chewing food all morning. This is so good. So I'm catching up with you. So Kat, I kind of wanted to lead the parade today because I'm chatty, number one. And number two, I still think it's fun because when you do your show, you often focus on the people in the room and the people around you and everybody else, which is a typical Kat thing if you all don't know Kat. She's always about information around her, and she sort of keeps herself a little hidden. So I thought I would lead the charge and sort of push a little to talk about, well, I like to get Kat's perspective on what the world is like. Because one thing as a friend of mine, and Kat is a friend of mine, one thing that you do for me is you kind of make the world feel normal again when I'm feeling that the world ain't been normal, especially my personal world. Kat gets right in there with you. And well, Kat, I'll say like not talking about you to other people, but you get right in there with me and sort of summarize it in a way that makes it feel like, okay, world's safe again. This feels really good. So I was thinking on today's show that I would make sure that we get to bring that to the people listening and the people in the room by guiding your focus through some questions, and also just to understand sort of the time period. Like, this is election day. Kat, did you vote? I don't care who for, but did you vote?
I definitely voted. I voted early.
Yeah.
And I had a voter's report card come to me, not one, but two this year. And I was like, you know how that Aries moon kicks in. And I was like, they're giving me some report card. I'm going to show them, and I'm going to go the first day the polls open. And so apparently I missed an election somewhere along the line, and they let me know that. So I did. I proudly went and voted early, and definitely I do all the time. I don't know what year I missed, but apparently on my little report card, they told me I missed
missed a local election or something like that. It wasn't like you did have a time there where moving was a big focus because there was so much going on, it could have happened during that where you have to take.
Yes. It was interesting what they did, though. I got the meter, you know, and I'm at, you know, Mark, when somebody says you're average.
You know, one way to get Kat to do something is like, tell her, I was just thinking about, like, you know, I'm giving you a B in my mind. It's like, what?
I'm actually joking, but seriously, that's good.
You are just hard on yourself. It's true. And do you feel like, I know the world has been chaotic. There's no question. It's been chaotic for several months now. As a psychic, and I think as just a normal person walking around, we're being inundated. Do you feel it particularly? Do you think you feel it particularly intensely? And B, what do you do to sort of not feel it? Like, how do you sort of deflect that energy?
I think I chose this time. I think we chose, I should say. I have to remember where are we now. But we did. I feel like, you know, we're in a really safe space as far as where we chose to reside, especially my sensitivity. And I think it was when, it's like when you moved to Larkspur, you know, that area, when you came out of the fray of energy. You know, if I was any closer to where I used to live, I'd be off the chain because, you know, right? But I think vibrational, you know, it gets, so I have a, and I like to distance. It's interesting because I received a call from a client this morning about reducing anxiety and how we do that. And I like to absorb the negativity in the environment with a little bit of a ritual. And so, and I believe wholehearted, and this could be just my whimsical way, but I really believe that nothing can penetrate your own personal domain if you don't welcome it, you know?
Yeah.
So I like a circle of protection. I like the candle. And I ask it to just remove and just absorb that negativity. And of course, there are other ways to do it. But I'm conscious of staying maybe safe is a good word, and a bit distant from the fray.
Nice. I think it's, you know, you're saying like where you live makes a big difference. And what about like, what if you, like, do you also avoid a lot of programming, like a lot of TV, a lot of news? Do you avoid that stuff?
Yeah, I believe that I am very cautious and annoying to a degree because a lot of people want to share, and I love people sharing with me so much. I'm so grateful for that. But I am very limited on what I absorb, and I actually can't help get, but like, please don't send me this, or with Steven on the TV, I'll say, you know, wait till I leave. Don't put that on. I'm very much a stickler about these things because I don't want to take on anything within myself that kind of, takes away from my space where I could see freely for everyone else. And I'm very cautious about that. And I've actually became a pain in the ass to live with because of it. Because if I even, it's almost like, if there's a show on that's R-rated or it's maybe edgy or a little violent, even not, there's no violence in this home when I'm paying attention to it. I can promise you, I will totally, I am very, very, very strong on this. And it's because I want to stay as pure now as possible within my energy, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. to be able to help others. Everyone needs more positivity right now. We don't want to, but at the same time, we don't want to ignore our feelings and our truth. And so in order to do that, I can't absorb what goes on in the social media industry. You know how I am. I like to hide a little
yourself.
Bit.
I think that, mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. how we care for ourselves is really important. It's just sort of like you wouldn't sit and like just eat candy bars all day long because you have to protect yourself. You want to feel good. You want to have some energy, especially in the line of work you do. And so I think that's kind of universal advice, like to tell people, if you don't live in the country, if you don't have a rural sort of setting that sort of isolates you, it's important to not add to the chaos. And if you're sensitive to it, particularly, though, there are some people that are kind of, you know, they do well with it. I think that I remember living in the city in the store and people walking in and going, oh, the city is so intense for us. We live out in the country. And I remember moving to the country and then going back into town and walking into Trader Joe's and looking at John and go, okay, I think we just became those people we were making fun of because I can't take this.
I remember your transition of acceptance of where you live.
Yeah.
I mean, I truly, and I had this happen also here. So there is that moment of, wow, we can never, I was back in Stuart, Florida for 2 hours and I called Stephen on the phone and I said, you must pick me up. I'm done with this city. I couldn't even go back. You can't go back. There's something about the election out there that's, you know, that phrase, we're not going back. The bottom line is I definitely feel the same. And for you as well, I remember that moment it happened. I remember you tossing it, you know, tossing both sides, like trying to sort out, did I do the right thing? Did I not do the right thing? And I remember visiting every location
yeah.
that you were, you know, I have my memories of Pearl Street. I have my memories of Cherry Creek. Yeah. I have my memories of Larkspur, you know, and
That's really true.
I have.
You get to see all the iterations. And yeah. It is definitely, so there is something to be said. And I feel bad for people who are, we all kind of, I think once you move, it's kind of, you feel stuck there for a while. Yes. And so if you're in the city, if you're in a particular area, if you're in a place where it's harder to block out the stuff, then I think some of the advice during these times are to recognize, I think, first, that you are probably being really inundated with a lot of information, a lot of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just there. And so to do whatever you can. I know in Denver, there's a lot of places to go for like a nice massage or to just chill out. If you don't have that access, do it in your own home where mm-hmm. you have an affirmation. I was just talking to a friend who never had heard of the idea of putting a bubble around you, energetic bubble, that's the scene as a bouncy rubber bubble so that anything that comes at it that isn't supportive of you gets bounced away. I tell people before they see psychics to put a blue bubble around them. And then like what I do is put a blue bubble and then anything that's supportive comes in, anything that isn't gets bounced back and it can't stick to my subconscious. Cause if you go to somebody and they're saying something really weirdly negative, you're like, I don't want to hear that.
Well, it's very true. I like to drum, believe it or not. This is
where that's interesting.
I love drumming the negativity out of our home. It's
What do you do? What's the picture that you got to paint that picture? What is that? Is it a drum that you pound with your fists, your hands, your stick?
I don't know. It's a Native American drum.
Yeah.
And I walk around the house with it and
Do you use a little a mallet? That's sort of
I use the mallet. Yes, I do. I use the mallet. And I have, and you know who taught me this? Anita Ahuja, when she came to visit, we did it. And she had the bowl and I had the drum, and we had this amazing transformation together of the aura, so to speak, or then, you know, we just released all the negativity. And I took that, and now, of course, years later, I have learned how to either use the sound to vibrate it out of my space, or the candle to absorb, or and I really feel, Mark, to believe, even in these times where there's so much chaos on the planet, to really truly believe that you're safe is the first step.
Oh, amen.
To yes. knowing you are safe, you know, or we say to yourself, you know, I know, well, I say nothing can penetrate my own domain, and I know I'm safe in the planet. You know, you connect with whatever your higher power, the universe, you know, you have protectors from the other side, you know, and but I like that. But I like to use different ways. But don't, if someone's turning a TV, like if you were, when I went to New York City a couple of years ago, I don't know if you remember, not only was it the most frigid temperatures they've ever had in a December, okay, I was there for half a day and became deathly ill.
Wow.
I literally,
I don't know if I do remember that.
Oh yes, it was horrible. I was like gonna show my husband the night on the town. I had a great plan. I was like sitting in traffic for an hour, freaking out, going, oh, I don't know these. And you know, I like to pray for all the people of the land, you know, or meditate positivity for all the people of the land. But now since that experience, definitely New Yorkers, because I was like shocked. And I learned during that trip that really there's no place like home, as we always say, but more so than ever that I really have to be conscious of protecting energy, my own and hopefully others, because I do feel very protective of the people I connect with. You know, more and more as I get older, I feel that way. I want everyone to have safety, care, service, what they need. I'm into that, but going to New York almost killed me. I'm sorry.
Wow. That's pretty, that's,
I was
pretty
sick.
That's awful. It's awful to have that experience too. It's yes. Like, and we do sort of like, if it happens, it's like when you eat food and you get sick on that food, it's like, you never want to eat that food again. It's like, yes. If you go to a city and get sick, it's like, oh, I remember that city. You know, like we
it
recreate
was
like it.
That. It was.
I think it's important that we have that, not only awareness of what's going on, but I think, like, I'm asking all my friends to commit to being okay. And I'm asking some hardcore friends too, to commit to being okay with anything, with any outcome that's outside of us out here. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, it starts with stop the hysteria, just stop it. Make a commitment. And be okay. Like, I'm going to be okay. I promised, I made a commitment. I am going to be okay. Whatever the outcome of this election is, because what my focus is going to be is to bring more love into my home, more money, more security, more spirituality. And I want that to be my focus. I don't want my focus to be who tweeted what today or who said what today. I want it to be something a little richer, because then I want to bring it back and contribute something that isn't necessarily part of the squawking noise that's happening right now. Because I turned the TV off. I haven't even been watching it this morning. But when I did turn it on to catch up on just my local news and weather, the excitement is huge and the hype is huge. And so this is really important that we do a show like this and sort of remember who we are, then help people remember that it's going to be okay and that we're okay. And do you like, where do you stand psychically with all this? Are you not, and like, we're avoiding any prediction talk. What I'm asking you is, yeah, how do you feel about the, like in general, is the world okay? Are we going to be okay? Do you do that kind of psychic reading, or
I'm not fly by night, as you know, and I believe that Virgo rising kicks in, and if people realized how what makes the psychic come out to the forefront the most is the paranoia that lies underneath.
Yeah.
or the OCD or whatever it may be. You know? And it's because we're driven to get to the best case scenario or to predict. I love to visualize and predict positivity, like positive outcomes, even if in the worst times. And those miracles happen for people every day. And I believe we're always going to be okay because I won't have it any, I can't fathom it any other way. And so raising a Scorpio and a Capricorn adult, they're adult children now, but they're nevertheless mine. They live in a more heavy exit, like Capricorn and Scorpio. What do I expect? You know what I mean? So they're pragmatic, very like as it is. And of course I try to soothe them the best I can as well. And I really truly drill into their heads that they're always going to be okay. Because history is very repetitive. We go through cycles. Unfortunately, we're in a crazy world. There's no denying it. But if we're okay and we believe, I really think belief has a lot to do with what we do, you know? And yeah, do shit things happen in the world? Of course they do. Do shit things happen in our lives? Yes, they do. But
yeah, I agree 100%. We have a responsibility to keep it on the local. I think too, like to start here, like peace starts here and you extend that out. So you find whatever you need to do to start at your personal peace. And then you start extending that. You have kids you have to take care of. Like you just said, like there's people around you that really rely on that. And I think and then you get them settled, then they take that, they extend it. And that's to me how it rolls. Somebody in the chat room is asking, Pamela is asking why I do a blue bubble. And I just wanted to address that real quick. I picture a blue bubble because of my work with chakras, and the blue third eye was the idea of if I have a bubble around me and I'm asking it to filter for me energetically, anything that does, like don't allow things to stick that might be negative or scary, then I think I leave that to the blue part, to the spiritual part, to the part of me that's the higher mind. And that's why my bubble is blue. But Pamela, pick up color, have it be yours. You could have it be the heart color. You could have it be pink. You could have it be green. You could have it be a root chakra color, which is red or purple. But whatever your bubble is, give it the authority to sort of enter. And this is just a mind thing. We're just changing energy because of how we're thinking about it. But I don't want it to lead into too much magical thinking. I want it to believe that it helps me unhook from an OCD thought that might enter my head if somebody says something negative to me that, oh gosh, that's sort of rolling in my head. My little bubble takes care of it. And you get to create one that takes care of yours too. Sorry, Kat, I just wanted to jump in on that point, but.
I'm so glad you're talking about this because, you know, I love pink bubbles too, but lately they've been turquoise. So it was interesting. Oh,
perfect.
When I'm shifting that a little bit, you know, and I do base it on my visual, like whatever, I guess what spirit says or shows me visually is where I, you know, gravitate towards and for everyone. And sometimes changing your colors, because I like to do this with a stream of something also, Mark, like whether it's silver or gold, I like to use some of the bling for that.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm dressing up for the ball, but I'm going nowhere. But
the life ball.
It's true. It's so true. There's so much going on in just your own space, you know, in everyone's within yourselves and the core of your being and your nature. Like Mark said, I think it all begins there. And it's kind of fun to dress up in a spiritual with an essence of yourself, even if you drew your own colors or you came to the, you know, your own day with something like, you know, as a part of you, color your life a little bit from within.
No, that's so good because I'm sorry, I jumped right in because you get me excited. I want to emphasize that the universe isn't holding us accountable like you picked the wrong color, so I can't offer
right, that's the
love.
Fun.
Right. So play, like, be a rainbow, be whatever you want to be a black energy, like black, wow. Literally the color black. We used to use at the store, black was the absorber of all the blocks or all the hurts or right. all the pain. Black was like such a perfect color to use. White was one that we used to sort of fill a space to neutrality. But whatever it is, don't think that there's a law that you're working against. That's the thing that is the silliest to me. It's almost like when we do affirmations, there's only one language the universe understands, and it's proper English, you know, or something. Right. Like, it's sort of like, please remember that the goal is, your intent is that you are loved, you are supported, it is safe, and you want to do what you can to bring that place back into perspective in yourself, and then you extend that out to the world around you because you're living from it. Sorry. That's
how we take care of other people, you know, feeling good in ourselves. And it's a lot. Sometimes it's effort for all of you. Like, I mean, there's so much anxiety on the planet today. Obviously, I've received some calls from other parts of the world as well. And there, everybody wants to know, you know, what do I think? And
you tell them?
No, I say, I think nothing. That's what I say, because I don't, and I'm not trying to be rude about, and I say to them, I explain this, I'm not being rude. I just really don't have, I have sick people to help. I have healing is to do. I have, you know, whatever. I have a lot of people one-on-one that really need my help. And I don't have a mind for this. I lean in a certain way, but I don't really want to.
Well, yeah, I get it. You don't want people.
It, really?
That's exactly right. It's not only that, too. I think by not engaging in the question, it's seeing the source of the question is can you tell me something that's going to make me feel safe? And for them, the answer is, who's going to win the election? Right. And I think the idea is, if you nip that in the bud by saying your safety isn't that, that's a projection. You get to, whoever's going to be on there, you're going to project, it's the worst thing that could ever happen, it's the best thing. And I'm telling you, that is projection. Because what our opportunity is to do the best that we can be to project the best that we have in our lives, in our life. And be like, that's the projection we want to have. Everything we see in somebody else is coming through a piece of us. So we bring it home. And I think by getting people unreliant on, and I'm not saying outcomes don't matter, they do matter. But what does matter more is our ability to maneuver them, the strength for
us. No matter what.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly.
And you're all safe and everyone is safe. Of course there's anxiety. Of course everybody's, you know what I say? Mm. I can't fathom it any other way than what we need as a country. And we all know what we need. So I feel, because I can't fathom it in any other way, I'm going with it.
Nice. Just going to accept what
it is. Accept, you can't fathom it. I dismiss any other thoughts other than what our country needs as a country. Because really, we're all here generation after generation after generation. Like, we make it through no matter what, you're all safe. Like, that's how I see it.
That's right. Absolutely. And I think it's important, if people aren't feeling safe, that we're here for you. And we're here to help you extend that sort of version, because a lot of life is still going on for people. There's people in not great situations. There's people in great situations. It's the normal hodgepodge is happening. But to give it out, like to make it worse by thinking this outcome is definitely the end of your life.
Right.
It's like, okay,
right.
Yeah, I want us to be able to wade through that for sure. And I'm going to check on the room while we're talking, Kat. I don't know if you've looked in yet, but
I'm looking.
No, are you looking? Okay, good. I'm so used to being with people who don't, like, I don't know how to do that. So good for you.
I feel like this is our lifeline here. You know, connecting to all of you are amazing. And I'm, you know, it was funny that you said, I think my show is at noon on Monday now, of course. And it's so funny that I had difficulty being here on Tuesday after being used to already on Monday. You know what I mean?
It happened that quick, huh?
Yes, I've definitely.
I love that. It was almost like, okay, that's how you know it's a good fit, right? When you make changes like that, it's so funny. I've always had a clear box. I was experimenting with color. Oh, this is good, Pamela. Great. I love that. And I think somebody said color is vibration. Chris, Diana, which is so true. We used to have a color chart in the store. I mean, listen, I want to make it clear. This is all magical thinking, but there is something about the idea when you join with another person on something happening in this reality, you make it happen. It's kind of fun. That's kind of the fun of this reality. So if you kind of get the idea that there's a chakra system running through you with red at the base, purple at your head, and all the seven colors, you know, in between, or, you know, five colors in between, what you get is this opportunity. Like red was the one for us that was to root us to the ground, or to sort of push passion out, how we move in the earth. Orange was attraction. Like, so if you have something orange, you bring it towards you. It was like the magnet energy. Yellow was solar plexus, which was sort of like self-esteem and sort of our, where a lot of us go when we're not feeling like we're kind of protecting our solar plexus in an unsafe world. Green and pink were the heart, where the mind, the mental, the ones above the heart and the ones below the heart, they would meet in the heart. So you could bring your feelings and sort of not make them wrong in the heart. Bring your thoughts and not make them wrong in the heart. And pink and green were the heart. And then blue was kind of like the throat chakra, which is where you wanted to speak, or when it was time to say something outward and you couldn't, if your throat chakra was blocked, that was blue. And also the sort of intent to of your will. And then the third eye was purple. And I said blue was my third eye, and it's sort of like an indigo. So I want to correct that a little bit. But the third eye was purple. It was like the play. Well, no, let me see. The third eye was indigo, and then the crown chakra was purple or white. And so you can play with it however you want, make it real for you. And then that's the play of adding a little vibrational fun to the sense of you're in control of your reality and your world. And then if you light a little candle to as a ritual to remind yourself of something that you'd intend, or something like, we lit a candle when my friend was going through chemo, through the surgery after chemo, we lit a candle. And then John came and said, look at the candle. And I looked at it and he goes, there's not a drip. He goes, this is going to be a good surgery. So we used it as an omen. And that's so fun to do in life, because then you're remembering the magic. It's everywhere around you. Anything can be magic. Sometimes, and I've done this with Kat a lot, where Kat will text me at the and say something that's like, oh my God, it's like, that was the omen I needed. And we do it with friends. You do it with yourself, your loved ones, do it with strangers. So anyway, yeah.
Well, you're going to freak out by this, because I'm trying to prove it to you in a visual way. But
it's Kat, man. This is good.
No, this is how we are. So I am sitting with this chart on my lap, which was here when I got to the show, because I was like, maybe we'll need this. And it's the chakra tune-up. And I'm laughing because I'm looking at the chart of colors. I'm trying to post it in the room, but you know how stupid I am with my new phone. But anyway, I'm laughing because here it is. Like, you're talking about everything I had in my lap.
Going through the chakras right up the body.
No, you really are. And I had to do this because you're just not even going to believe it. And I'm hoping I know how, you know how I am with this new technology.
Yeah. No, you're good at technology. I don't know. You just don't like the change, but
I hate change in that
but
way.
You pick up on it like instantly. I love that you're a Gemini. So we know you're going to get through it and learn it. You just don't like you get comfortable because you have that Jupiter in Cancer, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And Mercury. And I had seven cracks in my phone before I would go and get a new one.
That's Aries.
That's your choice.
Show me the Aries moon. I'll show you an iPhone that has a few cracks in it. That's so funny.
Well, I have to tell you, I posted it in the room so you see what was sitting on my lap, and that's only a portion of it, but it shows how in sync we.
I love it. That's so good. Yeah. See, and that's how you use friends for omens and for support. Like you guys, and this is so true. I know for a fact, like Kat is one of those people for me, like she can make me feel better if I got a little, and I don't even say it, I act like I'm feeling fine. And then she'll say something like, and it's sort of like, yeah, that's it, exactly. And it's, oh God, it's so reassuring, because I don't want to get into any heavy thing. No, like, and you know me well enough that it's like we don't get too heavy, but it's like, so it's quick, it's easy. We're talking on the like cancer talk, which is cancers talk like crabs move side to side. So Kat engages her Jupiter with me, and so she sort of like plops something on the outside, and I get it and pick it up, and then it's like, okay, thank you. So
but then I know it's time to go.
Yeah, you do.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I guess all my friends need to be psychics because I can't be explaining everything all the time. It's good.
You don't really have to most often.
I love that.
I know we have that thing, but I did have this on my lap. This is.
Oh, I see it. I just saw it. You did a good job of posting it too. Look at that.
Did I learn my phone all in this show?
I love that. That's beautiful. You know, Judith asked real quick what the chart. Judith, you asked about the astrology chart, and Nadine, I see your comment too. For anybody that's an astrologer, the USA chart. Judith wanted to know what the rising was. Yes. We use this thing called the Sibley chart. It's Sag rising, and Venus is in Cancer in the seventh, and Mars is in Gemini. In the USA chart. So it's a Sag rising, Cancer sun, obviously July 4th, Aquarius moon. So if anybody needed that, and I ran it for 5:10 p.m. Local mean time in Washington. All right. So, and then Nadine was commenting something to you that I don't know if you saw that or not, but
no, where is she?
She's, Kat, that is exactly the way I have been. I do not see it any other way. Just clearly, I do not feed into any other vision or thought. The results will be perfect.
That's how I love that. And I'm so ignorant. I'm ignorant to what the hype and the media and the negativity and the, because I just can't take it on, you know? And that's why maybe that makes it a little easier to not fathom it any other way. Because what our world needs, you know, is what the highest potential is. And we have to think about it that way and just keep pushing, you know? I don't know if it's like a bulldozer, but I think that we can sometimes when we do the readings with the cards, as you know, I like to keep going and shuffling and really keep it moving in order to get a better outcome. I'll just keep shuffling. And I do
you feel that it's better.
Do I what?
Until you shuffle and shuffle and shuffle until it's like you can feel it changing.
Yes, like, it clears. I wait for the universe to say, you know, okay, it's time. Or sometimes I'll say, okay, just give it a minute. I'll think the guides are being stubborn. But what they're really doing is trying to help us create a scene that's going to benefit who's at, you know, the querent or the person asking, they were coming for help or advice. I do believe with some energy and effort, we actually can alter circumstances based on our time together. When they say two are gathered, I, like you said earlier, I do believe there's a truth to that. I truly do.
Oh, I love that. I mean, I think it's like, why not use what it is you believe and use it fully? It's sort of like, if we get out of this thing about there's a correct way or a wrong way or a right way or whatever, and we just get into, there's love is sort of like this idea that there is a cord of love that we would call always there, the right energy, always there. And it's kind of non-judgmental. And we can always dip into that if we need it. And you come out here and play a little bit in the world. It's sort of like, oh, this is a bad thing. This is a good thing. You know, with the dualistic world. But you can always land at this place where you suddenly go back into this sort of protected place, like you talk about. You're shuffling until you feel the negativity dissolve, or you're.
It helps. It moves things along. I can see where something's going now before I even look at the cards, and I know when there are moments, and I'm sure all of you who read the cards understand. Hopefully this will help you understand. There are some days when I'm very conscious. I have a conscious connection with my deck. And there are other moments that I have a very unconscious I share the space with them, but I have no control over what they say. I have no connection to them. I kind of feel like they're a stranger visiting for the day, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but those strange times of my, when I feel a bit unconscious about it are really the truest reads, because spirit is kind of doing its thing without me. And I love that. I love those moments.
Yeah, that you know, it's like you live in that world a lot. And I think the more you live in that world, the more sensitive you become to seeing the little parts of what we'll call like those magical moments where spirit's talking to you, or you know, this is going to be okay. Or, and I love that metaphor of shuffling the cards until the energy dissolves or shifts, because I think if we saw living life as a metaphor of that, like if you're seeing your mind ruminating in a negative way, it's sort of like, okay, like pull the observer, notice that your mind is doing this negative sort of churning, and stay with it until it dissipates. Like that, keep shuffling until the energy clears. Keep that observer on. There's so many situations like that where that advice could so hold true that I so appreciate you giving me that, shuffling until it clears.
And well, yeah, and you can even see like some of the negativity, how it now moves from the, like what we still have to get through to what we've already been through. You could see the cards going in the past, like, you know, and I like that, because we know in our lives, in our humanness, we have the ability within us. You know, there are some cliches in the world that are very, very accurate and very good. And we can, whether it's synergy, energy, I don't know what the proper word is, but I know we have synchronicity. We have connection in the world. And so when, why not? And there's a visible, there's an invisible knowing around our spiritual, like our spirit world and our physical world. And we know it exists, and the two have to cross over because we're all in the same universe.
Yeah.
So it's like that with the cards. We're piling all this negativity, you know, oh, we already assume the worst case scenario. Well, come on, we could change this. Let's move the energy, keep moving it. And I think that the cards are a great tool for that. And I believe it's because, again, the spirit world, oh, you know, spirit is here to help you. We feel alone in our physicality, our humanness, but we're never really alone. We have helpers, we have invisible guides. Where the hell did the sky get there? You know what I mean? Like, well, there's something. So we have to just kind of draw ourselves into whatever could assist us. And do we have, you know, terrible situations in our humanness? Yes, we do. There's no question. But how do we cope with that? Yeah. And how do we help ourselves work through anything we have to face?
Oh my God. It's dealing. I think that the definition of a happy life, or maybe what I might consider a successful life, is how well I handled the darkest times, and like, or my ability to survive, even when you're hanging on through, because there's no report card here on getting through scary times in our lives, because everybody faces them. Let's face
it. Unless you get those voters report cards.
That's right. Unless you, then you know.
Like me. Exactly. One wasn't enough. I had to get two.
Yeah, and see, I love that. And I think that if we got, and that's what I think we're afraid of. There's going to be at the end of the road, we're going to get some sort of life report card. And I think that if we could shake that just a little, if we could let in the idea that love is pretty unconditional, and that there is a love that we come from that doesn't care about the report card, doesn't know about the report card, doesn't even pay attention to it. That's an us thing, that we could be a little happier, and we could be a little more safe in the way we create the bubble that we want to live in, or the reality that we're in. Like you have such a good handle on the use of grace, and the use of that there is a little light, and there is help always available if we can look for it. it if we stay open to it. And it is nice. Sometimes we just have to invite it in, which is why we have a gratitude board on Once You Listen under the advisors, where you just go anonymously post something that you're grateful for. And the secret for me is to post something that hasn't happened yet as if you got it to be grateful, because then you're sort of trusting the universe and you're sort of saying, hey, like bring this because I really want this. But you say thank you for bringing it, and you're sort of showing your trust that your life works. And in times like what we're in right now, which is the media is counting on us to be afraid. You all know that, right? Like the media, the world is counting on us to be scared, because fear is what keeps us glued to the advertisers and to the TV and to the thing who creates the fear. We cling closer because we're going to keep an eye on it. So I just want to advise us to, let's see if we can do our campaign this week of releasing fear, or noticing it, noticing your level of fear and how much is building up in you, and what you might be able to do to shuffle your deck long enough to have it dissipate. I really, really appreciate that advice from you on the shuffling the cards. Thank you.
I'm so grateful for that. But you know, because I've seen it work every day of my life with people and for people. And sometimes when you can't fathom something, no, I said, I don't like the way this looks, we're changing it. I get a little snippy that way, you know? And of course we can't always change it, but then we're gonna get the best way through it, or whatever it could be to, and I do believe our thoughts become things. I'm quoting Mike Dooley right now, but I truly always believed in this, that we have an ability to make it better. Even what, like when your friend went through her, I was like, Mark, this is it. You know, I remember when your friend went through her health crisis, and not mentioning any names, but we've both had friends who have been through many health crises. And in the most serious situations, we know what the ultimate, you know, negative outcome would be. But there are moments when we know also that we're not accepting that, and we're going to make it, you know, we're going to take another turn in the road or whatever it can be. And we have an ability to, for our lower selves, I say lower, I don't measure any I don't measure anything. I mean, I love everyone, so it is just the truth. But we have a lower self and we have a higher self. You know, we have a physical body, we have a spiritual body. When these two can meet and get along, it's pretty good. You know, we're rolling along. It's just that sometimes we want to, our physical body wants to turn our back on our higher self or our spiritual bodies, because we don't have the energy to even try. We're like, come on, come and help, you know? And when the two parts of ourselves meet, it really you become a powerhouse for yourself and for the world around you, or even your people, your circles, big or small, you know, you have an ability to be here in a better way.
Well, that's absolutely brilliant. The idea of bringing the two, where we link our spiritual self, our etheric self, with our physical self. And you know what does that? It's so amazing. When people that you love get into a health crisis, everything else just fades away. Who gives a crap about elections? Yeah. The person in front of you could potentially change your life or never be here again or whatever. And we're not talking about John, just in case anybody has that thought. This is just a very dear friend of mine in the world. That's good. And then but the idea is, if we don't have that happening, then the mind turns, okay, now it's these two people running for office that could change my, it's like, I get to have my attention go there. Well, what if that is, so of course we're going to create something a little more dramatic to get ourselves off of that other thing. And I'm thinking, what if we didn't have to do that? What if you saw that you were doing it? What if you saw that your tendency was to go to, now I'm going to worry about politicians who will never know that I exist. And we change that to, let me bring my attention home. Let me experience a little boredom. Let me experience a little bit of, this is what it's like just to be in a space. And I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to be on alert for anything. And I think there's a lot of people who have chosen to live like that. I'm very envious. But I also really love the ability when I can recognize, this is a peaceful moment. And there's all this chaos going around me, but I have this peaceful moment. I have this friend I can text, or I have this person that I can run up and talk to, I can run a chart, I can read.
We still have our circles that we could choose to expand or shrink or stay the same, you know? That's important in our lives, are the people we love, the people that sometimes in time, we've all survived, well, many of us, well, no, all of us have. If you're listening to the show, you're old enough to have survived many presidents, no matter what. Yeah, so we have to see it like that.
There's been a horror that this, if this one gets elected, it'll be the end of this or that, and it doesn't matter. It's like, that's one part of life out there. But the inner part of life, the part that you know that you're eternal, you know, and I don't mean to throw too much spirituality in there, but the idea that you do know that there's something more for you, that I mean, if you think about it, you want this politician to have that rent free in your brain for that long, like they need free rent, is like, stop. So I love that there's places where we can go and we don't have to hear about it. And I also love that, you know, I was telling Kat, I went to Claude, the AI, and I told him that, and Claude is an AI, you all can Google it, it's by Anthropic. And I asked him for some questions that me and Kat could throw around. And so Claude tossed them out. It was very fun. And I thought, Kat, before the end of the show, I can throw one at you.
Oh, great.
I mean, she did ask me to come with you. So she put it in that. I got the top billing for a minute. So I get to at least do this to you, please. One of the questions that Claude wanted to ask, it was past life perspectives. Share an unusual talent or inexplicable fear attraction you have, and let your colleague intuitively explore possible past life connections while you discuss your rational thoughts on it. Now, in other words, Claude is telling me to tell you something that happened to me and see if you could tell me the past life thing, but you're a past life person. Did you ever have past life experiences? Like,
I have been blessed with a tremendous, I don't know what, it's a gift. It changed my life forever.
What? Say it, what? I don't know this part.
My daughter, Sydney, came to me before she was born, and it was a several hour movie in my, I was anesthetized from losing another child. Long story short, she came to me. She spent several hours telling me she was going to be my daughter one day. It saved her life when she was born. She told me we had to save her when she was to be born. It was like this beautiful scenario, and we were in England. She was a princess. It was like so incredible. I saw her with the deepest blue eyes. I saw her long black curly hair. I saw my daughter. And when she came, she only literally had a 1% chance to survive. And she did. She died many times coming out through an emergency cesarean. They had to bring her back to life 4 times. She is amazing. She is healthy. She's alive. They tripled her lifespan. And I knew from that past life regression, and it wasn't a past life, it was a dream from, I was under anesthesia, deep, you know, whatever, that literally proved to me that past lives are real, because we could never have been where we were in this lifetime, as it was like in the late 1700s. And so also Edgar Casey was part of that regression. And the long and short of it is, we realized that Edgar Casey was born on her biological father's birthday, and he passed away on her birthday later on, years later.
What? Really?
Yes. She was connected to him in my regression, whatever it was.
Wow. I knew that question would do something. That's so good.
So 20 years later, I realized it, because, of course, I started studying him because of John Joseph.
Oh, yeah. He loves Edgar.
That's what led me to realize, oh my gosh, look at this. Like, he was in my regression. Like, she came from his bloodline. It was like crazy truths. No one can argue with me that we have not been here before because of that.
Wow. That's pretty wild. I love that. Okay. I don't even have anything close to that. That's so good. I think that helps keep your faith so strong. You have a question here. I want to see what you think. Question for either of you. When fear is connected to rage, who to deal with first? I think she means fear or rage, right? Like, which one do you go after first? Do you want me to go after?
Yes, go ahead. You go ahead. I know you have a good answer for this.
Well, it sounds like rage, there's only either fear or the absence of fear. I mean, that's how we live in the world. Rage is one of the, rage is sort of like the then I need to respond to that, I guess. We're thinking, Judith, I don't know how, I don't know that rage is always connected to it, but when it is connected to rage, I'm trying to think how would that look? Like if you're outraged and then you're scared.
I think fear drives rage. Because
fear drives rage, okay.
I think it's like the seed, one of the seeds for a rage. Being in rage.
Okay.
I do feel that.
And so is rage the unexpressed, like, what is the purpose of the rage when you're scared? Is it to avoid feeling scared? Is rage the antidote to fear? Like where you're all of a sudden, now I'm outraged and I'm angry and now you're not really acting scared. You're acting angry and you're acting outraged.
I think it's who comes first, the chicken or the egg. And I would have to say, rage comes off of fear.
I agree. So rage is sort of like maybe the defense mechanism.
Yes.
Like, so if you knew, it's like when you're angry and it's like, but somebody goes, you know, they're just really just scared. So I guess the answer would be, let's go after the fear. Like, what is it actually you're afraid of? And the rage is the cover up for it. The rage is like the outrage. And it's like the defense against the fact that I feel vulnerable. I feel afraid. And I have to make myself bigger.
And you're trying to release that fear by being in, you know, that rage.
I think you are, but I think it doesn't, I often think that won't help because it covers it up. You're sort of like, you've got this anger, you've got this rage, you're a victim now, you're screaming at the world, you're angry, you're going out, but you're not dealing with the fact that I feel vulnerable, insecure, unsafe, I feel violated, so I'm going in the opposite direction. So I do think we go maybe after the rage first, acknowledge it, observe it, watch it.
And then dig deep into that fear. But Judith, I'm going to talk more about that out loud next week because I used to have rage and I have zero. And I'm going to share some of that later. Seriously.
I love that. Oh my gosh, Kat, that's good. There you go. We got your topic already for next week. Chris Diana said, I refuse to live in a dark cloud of funk for 4 years again, no matter whoever gets elected. Right on, Chris Diana. We hear you. And I refuse too. I'm not going to live like that. Love that. I mean, like, that's the commitment. We have to make sure that after this week, when we find out probably by Saturday, that no matter who, I don't even care, whoever it is, my commitment is to the healthiest part of my life the following day, since day. And hopefully we can get there, you guys, together. And that's why we pump away at these radio shows. That's why I think, if you all know Kat, she's always online every single day. She works tirelessly. She runs circles around what I do. So Kat, I'm really grateful for all your work and all the ways that you are available to talk to people and help people. You're a champion among champions. I can't even put words to it. I'm so grateful for you on behalf of the people listening in. And I just thank you all for coming and joining in. Kat and I both, I know collectively, sending a big hug of love to C.A. Brooks, who will be here not next week, but the week after. Kat, anything closing words before you?
I am so grateful for you. We're going to come up to our 17th year, our 17th anniversary, in January. And, you know, I remind you 2 months in advance. So, no, I am so grateful. I love all of you so much. I think it's so amazing that you are so supportive to 1-2 Radio and 1-2 Listen. And Jay, thank you for being our producer. Mark, thank you every day.
You too, girl. Thank you all listening in. Please have a beautiful election day and election week. Let's be happy this week and let's commit to that the outcome does not affect who we are as beautiful people who can be happy, whole, healthy forever. Jay, thanks for the producing and for the support. Kat, you have a beautiful week.
You too. Thank you. Bye, everybody. Bye, CA.
Bye, CA.